Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we bless the name of our living God for such a very wonderful day. For me, every day is the day of the Lord. But what makes Sunday very special is that Sunday is the day of rest. And as such, as we are gathered here, I want you to feel very relaxed because you are in the presence of the living God. And the God that you've come before is mindful of you. He knows all your worries. He knows all your cares. It's not that now that he's going to think about you. He has you in his palms, programmed you, and has a destiny for your life. So no matter what you are going through, all that I'm here to encourage you is just lift up your eyes and look up to the Lord. For he's right there. In the midst of the storms, he's right there. In the midst of all the difficulties, just look up to him, for he will appear and will show himself strong on your behalf. This morning, I'm privileged to share with what I've short titled as The Type of Christ. The Type of Christ. And our main sermon is taken from the book of Philemon. And based on that title, a text that I've wanted to use as my introduction is from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." This is a very faithful saying of a servant of the living God, Apostle Paul. He re-echoed the same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, which also says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Apostle Paul wanted us to understand one thing, that we should follow him just as he also followed Christ. In other words, we should follow Christ. He did not end it there. But in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 17, he sent the same message to the entire brethren, telling them, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." He encouraged the church, that church, follow our example and observe those who does as we are doing. For they are of a pattern for you. And then, so here, what he wanted us to understand is, our walk with God is a pattern. God has a designated pattern for us to follow. Because his son came into this life to live a peculiar life. A life that is so outstanding. A life that the world abhors. But then God wants us to follow that same path, so that our life may meet his requirement. Imitate me as I follow Christ. Children of God, today you and I had the privilege of coming to know our Lord and Savior. And as such, he also required of us to also follow that same pattern that he wants us to lead our life. And this morning, we are going to look into the life of Philemon. What kind of Christ can we say he is? Or what type of Christ can we say he is? Our test is going to lead us in identifying a type of Christ that is found in his life, that you and I would ought to imitate, that we will be able to please our Lord and Savior. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Our gracious and everlasting Father, this is your day. You meant it, Lord, for glory. You meant it, O Lord, for your honor. So do we lift it up unto you, asking you that, Lord God, you take preeminence, O God, over our gathering this morning. Make manifest your glory. Demonstrate your power. Let every heart, O Lord, be tuned up to you. Let every mind, O God, be focused to you. We seek you, Lord, to have your own way. Come and speak to us, O Lord. And give us a listening ears. In Jesus our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Beloved, like I said, our main text is taken from the book of Philemon. It's just one chapter, and we are going through the whole chapter as well. But then I will not be reading the text because of time. We'll be referring to the area of interest as based to our lesson or our sermon this morning. And so as we go, we'll be considering them. And so when you critically, or maybe you take a look at the book of Philemon and you complete the whole text, you realize that there are two patterns or two kinds of life that exhibits a type of Christ or a Christ-like type of life. And to name them, the very first one is Apostle Paul. You can find in that text that Apostle Paul was testifying about Philemon's Christ-like character. Apostle Paul was testifying about Philemon's Christ-like character. And then the second thing that we can find from that text is Apostle Paul also demonstrated a Christ-like character. So these are the two main kind of patterns that were found in it. And so what was the testimony of Apostle Paul about Philemon? Philemon's Christ-like character, the first one can be found in Philemon 2. When you look at the Philemon 2, it talks about and to the house or to the church in your house. If you read from the beginning, Apostle Paul was then referring to a church that was being held in the house of Philemon. And for that matter, over there you can really see that Philemon ignored his privacy. Having a church in your home, the gathering of the saints were being held in his house. And at that time, most houses were used as the place of the gatherings of the saints. And that was something that was really found with the early church. It was a place for sharing God's word, a place for prayer, a place for fellowship, a place for breaking bread and having all things that concern the church being done. And so when you look at the Bible, there were a lot of instances that Apostle Paul referred the places or those people's house as the house where the church was being held. You can find that some of them in Romans chapter 15 verse 5. Also, it talks about likewise, greet the church that is in their house. 1 Corinthians 16:19 also gives emphasis on the same, that the church that is in their house. And in Colossians 4:15-2 also refer to the same church that is in their house, making mention of some peculiar people that open up their houses for the church to be meeting there regularly. And so opening up their house, what does that mean to us? What I came out to understand from the study was that opening up your house was opening up of their lives. They opened up their lives, there is no more privacy. The church was being held in their environment where they deemed to have been, they would own it and then be very secure or maybe be private to them. But then they open it up for the church. This is a Christ-like character, which Christ himself demonstrated to us. When you read the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said that, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. This is God, who has all power in his hands and could have decided not to be bothered about the things that were happening to mankind. But he opened up his life. He ignored his privacy. He ignored his privileges. He ignored all that were so dear. Supposing it were that the opportunity had been for you and for me, we wouldn't have ignored that privacy. But our Lord Jesus Christ ignored it. For a simple reason of reaching out to mankind and getting us back to God. Likewise, you can see the same life that Philemon demonstrated. That he ignored his privacy and opened up his house for the fellowship of the brethren. Today, you and I had also been given that same opportunity. By the grace of God, you and I have been saved and baptized by his Holy Spirit.
And we live under the comfort of our living God. We hold on to so many things. We hold on to our privacy. We hold on to things as though we were the people that saved ourselves. We hold on to things at the expense of God's command. God instructing us to turn to right, then we, because of our interest, we decide to turn to left. This has become the lifestyle of mankind because of our own interest. Beloved, the Lord expects us to open up our lives to the body of Christ. He wants us to open up our life to the things that will advance His kingdom. For some of us, we cannot handle a live group meetings. For example, you cannot teach or you cannot lead a prayer cell. But God has been so gracious to you. He has given you a nice house or He has given you a very beautiful office that is very open enough, which is also at a location that is strategic and many people can easily access it and have the place as a place for live group meeting or as a place for prayer cell meeting. But we are keeping it to ourselves because we rented the place ourselves. We want our privacy. We don't want people to interfere with our affairs. Beloved, these people could have also decided not to have allowed the church to meet there. But they decided to make room for the sake of advancing God's kingdom. And the Lord is challenging us today that if we also want to match up with Him and to follow His pattern, then it's our duty to also open up our lives to the church activities. We have so many activities that goes on throughout the week. But how many of them do we get ourselves involved? We may probably say we have no time. But I'm here to tell you a time is going to come that the same person who says you have no time, something else will take your time. And God will require that now that you have the time, make time for Him so that He will be there for you and nothing unworthy will take your time. There are some things that are about to happen to us in this life. Those things, whether you like it or not, you give your time to it. And it's my prayer that our lives does not open up to that, to such things to happen in our life. May we open up rather to the Lord. May we open up rather to the things of God. May we open up our life rather to the activities of the church. That the Lord God will be there for us when those moments of darkness comes to our doorstep. Beloved, Philemon, as we've indicated, opened up his house for the church. Other saints also did the same. And the Lord wants us to imitate Christ, who was the first person to ignore his privacy, open up his life so that you and I will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We are urged this morning to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being God did not consider himself as robbery, but then took upon himself the life of a human being. He took upon himself and came down to this life so that you and I will be saved. So that quickly takes us to the second point, that is full of faith and love. Philemon could be found as somebody who was full of faith and love. When you read the Philemon 5, it says, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. When Apostle Paul heard of the love, the faith of this young man Philemon, he was touched. And so he acknowledged that Philemon was full of faith and of love. People of God, if there is or have ever been something that man has to live for, or any person has to live for, it is faith and love. If there is something so dear in this life as a child of God that we need to commit ourselves to, it's faith and love. Apostle Paul, in many occasions, testified of the believer's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for all the saints. Galatians 5 verse 6 emphasize that. Ephesians 1:15 and Colossians 1:4, all of them give us account on that. How many of them demonstrate their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of that, grace abound upon their life for them to love mankind. When your faith is rooted in the Lord, grace will abound in your life. And so the Lord wants us to also get our faith rooted in Him. By so doing, you and I will have the needed grace to love even the unlovable. The people that may hate you, may treat you badly, the grace of God will be sufficient for you to love them if your faith is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Having your faith in God, what then do we mean? Having our faith in God is totally humbling yourself and being in perfect obedience to God. It's total humility and obedience to our living God. That is having our faith in God. Abraham humbly obeyed God to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, to God. Why? Because one thing, he knew his God. He knew that even if he is to kill Isaac or to use Isaac for sacrifice, God is able to raise Isaac back. Or even if he does not raise him back, he has a way to still satisfy the need or the promise that he has promised Abraham. And this is the God that Abraham was dealing with. And he's our God too. He's the same God who is with us. And he's the God who always is interested of our well-being. He will never instruct us the way that will harm or destroy us. In all his instructions to us, it's never to destroy us. If we have faith in him, we will see his glory at the end of the day. And so the Lord is requiring of us as his children to have faith in him so that you and I will be able to demonstrate his love on this earth. So that we'll be able to show forth his love to all people. Beloved in Christ, Jesus Christ was full of faith and love. And for that matter, he fulfilled God's purpose for his life on this earth. And when you look at Philippians 2 verse 8, it talks about, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That was faith. The faith he has in God. The faith he had in his Father. And the Lord God wants us to have that same faith in him. And when you have that faith in him, it doesn't matter the instruction of God for your life. You will still have the courage. You will still have the love in you to execute it unto the glory of our living God. Child of God, our faith in God is not easy. It's not cool. Because if you are to study the Bible and to look at all the people that walk with God, it is not beds of roses. It's a challenging walk. And I'm here to let you know that having your faith in God is not going to be easy. But I'm here to assure you that the God who promised to be with you, he will be with you to overcome all the difficulties. He will be with you to overcome all your fears. If only you get your faith rooted in him. Our walk with God is not easy. But because he is with us, we'll be able to overcome all the activities that the enemy will bring on our way. Therefore, it is our responsibility, as Paul told Timothy, that as a soldier of the Lord, endure hardness. As a child of God, endure hardness. Persevere. He wants you to endure. And so God wants us as his children to endure hardness. Because the world is coming against us. Whether you like it or not, you are not asking for it, yet the enemy is attacking you. So many activities that are attacking the body of Christ in this end time. The comfort syndrome is there. The fame order and the love for money and so many other things have become some tools in the hands of the enemy to torture our life, to derail us from the path of God for our life. Beloved, as a result of that, It has been the passion of Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:17 that he kept praying for the church. And so the Bible says that he prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. His prayer for the church in Ephesus was that Christ may dwell in their heart through faith, that they being rooted and grounded in love. Today is also my prayer for the body of Christ, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Christ may live in us through faith, so that you and I will be rooted and grounded in his love to do all that he wants us to do, so that you and I can imitate him. Beloved in Christ, the Lord wants us to have an unmovable love, but that comes when our faith is rooted in Christ. That takes us to the third kind of character that we can find about Philemon. And here, he lived his faith. And that could also be found in Philemon 6 and 7. The Bible says that the sharing of your faith may become effective to the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul was testified about the communication of the faith of Philemon. Apostle Paul was emphasizing the fact that the faith that Philemon was having was not just a faith that was maybe abstract or in a mirage, but then it was a faith that was in action. And therefore he was testifying that he was sharing, he was communicating, he was putting his faith into use. He was putting his faith into use. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. James 2:17. Our faith must work and change lives. The faith you have must work and change situation. The faith must not be boxed maybe in a corner somewhere. You must live out that faith in every sphere of your life, in every situation. Let people get to know that this is whom you believe in. This is where you belong. Don't hide your faith. Don't live as though you are not a child of God simply because you are afraid of the crowd. Beloved, Philemon was the type that was sharing his faith. As a result, it was refreshing the saints. When you share your faith, it refreshes others. Beloved, Philemon communicated his faith by living right to refresh the saints in love. He followed after the example of our living Christ. Today, we also claim to have faith. But is the faith active? Is the faith that we have, is it living? Are we communicating it? Are we sharing it? Or is the faith that is boxed up somewhere? We are unable to trust God in difficult times. We tend to mechanize our own way, to develop our own strategies, ignoring the Lord. We are impatient when issues get to our doorstep. That requires waiting before the Lord. The Lord wants us to live up to our faith. Some probably might have been having relatively better or much than the other. Maybe in terms of possession or in terms of wealth, you probably may be having abundant. But you are unable to share with the saints that are in need. When you look at the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, was the story about the church when they were all together. The Bible says that when you read that verse, it says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or house sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Probably this may sound very ridiculous in our day. That getting up and selling your possessions and coming to lay them at the leadership feet, that use them to distribute to the members of the church. But I'm here to challenge you one thing. that it still does not defeat the fact that it's a valid way of sharing. It may, whatever way that it may look to you, our way that the Lord expects us to share is to care for others, to care for the body of Christ. So if you happen to be blessed and you have abundance, and you are looking on another servant or another child of God in a state of need, and you still doesn't feel anything about your life, or you don't feel anything within you, then there's a problem. Because as a true child of God, who is full of the love of God, you will not sit down looking on for another saint, another soldier begging for bread. You get to that person's rescue. And that is the kind of sharing, communication that could be related to the life of Philemon. He was living his faith out. He was sharing, refreshing the saints. Refreshing the saints. The saints that comes to his house never live there in need. He refreshes them with his lifestyle, with everything that he owns. And the Lord expects us to also be people that will be sharing our faith to refresh the people of God. Beloved in Christ, that quickly takes us to the last with regard to Philemon's character. And before I get to that, I want us to also look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were possessed by the devil, for God was with him. Beloved, you and I too, God is with us. And God has been gracious to us and has anointed our life for a time like this. He's been gracious to us and has given us all the privilege that you and I need. He has been gracious to us and has given us his Holy Spirit to be with us with power. And therefore, he also expects us to go about doing good. He also expects us to share goodness to people that we meet all over, to all the saints. The Lord God, the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ was anointed by God. And that anointing too is upon your life. Because the Bible says that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ our Lord and Savior. And for that matter, you and I are in that same office of doing good. His anointing is upon our lives. His Holy Spirit is with us to ensure that we share, we communicate our faith to people that we encounter in this walk of life. And today, we are having an example from Philemon who shared his faith. And taking us to the last one about him, Philemon can be trusted. Philemon can be trusted. Philemon can be trusted. The Bible says in the verse 22 that, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that your prayers shall be granted to you. This was the words of Apostle Paul to Philemon. And in that kind of statement, you can find two requests that Apostle Paul trusted Philemon for. He trusted him for accommodation. And also trusted him that by your prayer, the Lord will give me to you. And so in this place, you can see so clearly that Apostle Paul had so much confidence in the life of Philemon. He trusted Philemon. What are we getting out of this? We are getting the understanding that as a child of God, you should be trusted. But it's unfortunate that the world in which we are now, it looks as if believers are the most difficult to trust. It looks as if believers are the most difficult to trust. If you get into the corporate world, many people classify them as the laziest people to employ. Because you have excuse of not coming early. You have excuse of leaving the workplace early. And the times that you have sent him or herself, you have excuse why he doesn't turn up. And all errors, he has excuses for them. And so it looks as if the body of Christ, should you maybe have a company and you have the opportunity to maybe employ people, some people, even though they are believers, may want to go for maybe somebody who is not a Christian instead of going for somebody who is a Christian. Simply because he knows that those people, they are serious. But the Christians will give excuses. For some of us, it's difficult for us to be trusted with money. For some of us, even to be difficult for us to be trusted with information. Because at this point, Apostle Paul was the agent among them. And he is communicating with somebody, let me say his spiritual son. Somebody he witnessed to. And now he's requesting that the person should get him maybe some help. For many of us, we cannot be trusted with issues. If somebody comes to you and asks for help, the next day the media would hear about it. For some people, they cannot be trusted with issues of confidentiality. He has a problem. She has a problem. She had approached you as a child of God, as a brother and a sister. Please help me pray about this. The next day, everybody was away. Cannot be trusted. But that was not found in the life of Philemon. Philemon was a person that Apostle Paul could wholeheartedly trust. Beloved, Apostle Paul testified all this about the life of Philemon. Philemon was a dependable brother to him. He requested two things, a place to sleep and his prayer to bring him back to where he is. Beloved in the Lord expects us also to be trusted, that we will be of help to the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is our trusted friend ever being. Jesus Christ, he is the only dependable companion that we'll ever have. He is the friend that sticks much closer than even a brother, according to the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And therefore, every promise of him, he earned it. And even those yet to be, he shall honor them. He promised us his Holy Spirit and he's given it to us. He promised us salvation and he's always ready to save anyone who call on him. He has made it available. He promised deliverance if only we will call on him in times of need. What more could he not do for us? Is it our health issues that seems so insurmountable before him, he will bring them down? Is it our joblessness? Is it our business barrenness? Or maybe the fruit of the womb that we are struggling with? Is it maybe a clarity, maybe of what next after school? Or what job to take after next year? Or where to move to? Or maybe clarity in your calling, in ministry? I'm here to challenge you that look up to him. Maybe you are looking for a husband, you are looking for a wife. Jesus Christ is the only one who can help you. Put your trust in him. Take your eyes off your family, off your friends, off the things around you, and look up to Jesus. And I'm here to challenge you that he can be trusted. He's the able one that can be trusted, and our lives will never be the same. Beloved in Christ, that quickly takes us to that of Apostle Paul, demonstrating a Christ-like character to us. And the first one that I want us to look at is acknowledging fellow leaders or laborers. The Bible says, when you read the verse 1 and 2, he gave a list of people that he called out as the people that were also worshiping in the house of Philemon. And he acknowledged them. He acknowledged all those people. Beloved in Christ, we are all brothers and laborers in the vineyard of our living God. Apostle Paul really appreciates the labor of other saints and called them brothers. This is worth emulating, and because it turns out to strengthen our bond of unity as the people of God. There are so many references that Apostle Paul kept referring to acknowledging the sins of God in the Bible. And the question here is, why was it so important to acknowledge them? It is important because it turns out to encourage the saints. It turns out to let them also feel part of the ministry or part of the work that Christ had commissioned us. Beloved, we all need encouragement. You need encouragement. I need encouragement. Encouraging one another is also considering one another. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 to 25, the portion of it indicates that and say, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When you acknowledge one another, when you encourage one another, when you consider one another, it spurs us up onto good works. It spurs the love of God in us to do more to advance the kingdom of God. We as individual or collectively need encouragement to build us up. Our faith grows when we are encouraged. And therefore, encouragement is something that you and I need in this life. And for that matter, when you read something in Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We need to be sharpened. We need to be built up. We need to be alert. And by so doing, we get ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how life would have been if all of us were to be living our life maybe individually. Without anyone to encourage you. Without anyone to acknowledge whatever you are doing. Life would have been very difficult for us. So one may ask, so how about if there is no encouragement? Then I'm here to tell you that two things will set in. Division and ungodly competition. When there is no encouragement, division and ungodly competition sets in. And our lives become very miserable. For the sake of time, I quickly want to rush through. We are unable to fulfill our purpose when we live with an attitude of lack of consideration or encouraging one another. Jesus did not condemn any of the prophets, but acknowledged their labor in the Lord. And in the same light, Apostle Paul, at this point, even though Philemon was his convert, yet he acknowledged the labor of Philemon. And it's also required of us to acknowledge. That quickly takes us to the second one about Apostle Paul. In the same text of 3 and 4, tells us that he was always praying for the church, for the fellow laborers. And therefore he said, for I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Making mention of you always in my prayers. Always praying means that being faithful in prayer. Being faithful in prayer. The book of Romans 12 verse 12 make it very clear that rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Being faithful in prayer. And therefore Apostle Paul kept praying for the church. In Romans 15, 5 and 6, he was praying that the church will endure hardness and be encouraged. He was also praying for them in Romans 15, 13, that they will be filled with joy and peace. And that of 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 9, he also was praying that they will be strong and blameless when Christ shall come. And many that continue. The church of Christ is built on prayer. When we fail to pray as a church and for the church will faint. When we fail to pray as a church and for the church will have no strength. That is why our Lord Jesus Christ did say a parable in the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1. That man always has to pray lest he lose heart. We ought to pray as the body of Christ, we must pray. This morning, I want to urge you to imitate Christ, who was a prayerful man. And a typical person that I want us to look at is Epaphras in the book of Colossians 4 verse 12. The Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God for your life. The life of Epaphras was a prayerful life. And the Bible said he was fervently laboring, not laboring for his well-being, but he was laboring for the church, that the church will be able to stand perfect, that the saints will be able to stand perfect, and so that they will also be complete in the will of God for their life. Is that our prayer for GICF? Is that our prayer for the saints in GICF? Is that our prayer for the families that are gathered here every Sunday? That the families will stand amidst all difficulties. That the families will be complete in the will of God. That the bodies that comes here every day will be able to stand the test of time. Do we go on our knees? Praying always for the church. This was a typical case about a servant, a born servant of Christ by name Epaphras. And I pray that the God will raise up Epaphras in our midst. Of which is I've been praying that God make me the Epaphras of my day. Not to be limited only into a church, but in my generation, let me stand in and pray that the church will stand and be complete in the will of God concerning them. I don't know about you, because the enemy is also at work to make sure that he dismantles the church, to make sure that he destroys the church. But when that happens, it is us who suffers. The church is not the building. It's you. It's me. And so when we pray for the church, you pray for yourself. You pray for myself. And the Lord expects us to pray that you will stand. I will stand. I will be complete in the things of God. I will fulfill God's will. That was the prayer, the heartbeat of Epaphras. Beloved in the Lord, for the sake of time, I just quickly want to take the last one that could be found in the life of Apostle Paul. The Lord God is still counting on us to be prayerful. Like Sister Sandra was sharing, the ministry of prayer is the ministry for all. It's not a ministry for a selected few. Even though the selected few are at a point in time relied upon for major or maybe some kind of difficult situation. But all of us are called to pray. Because Jesus said, for my house shall be a house of prayer. He said his house shall be a house of prayer. That means you are a prayer object moving around. And God expects us to always be that kind in every way of our life. And it's a challenge for us to rise up to affect our generation and our society. Finally, pleading. He pleaded and was ready to bear the cost of the fellow laborer. I believe you all know about the story about the very guy that Apostle Paul instructed to go and give that letter to Philemon. He was a servant, a bond servant of Philemon by name Onesimus. Maybe that's how I probably could pronounce it, but maybe you could pronounce it different. That's okay. And this was somebody who ran away from Philemon. And as he found himself in Rome, he happens to encounter Apostle Paul, who led him to Christ. And at the due time, he instructed him to go back to his master and fulfill his duty. And so when he was going, Apostle Paul had so much trust in this young man. And so that he said, he pleaded for his cause that this person might be unprofitable to you before, but now he's profitable to me and to you. And for that matter, the way you receive me, receive him as such, was something that he pleaded for. What am I trying to say? To sum it all up, a text in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 downwards, where the whole thing was summarized. And it reads, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has grant, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is it telling us? The business of pleading or getting somebody to Christ is the business of God. And he has, by his grace, given us that privilege to reconcile the world through Christ to him. And so our duty is not to impute people's trespasses on them. But we should let them know that through Christ, their trespasses had been forgiven. And they've now obtained the righteousness of Christ. As long as the person had opened up and accepted, the person had passed from that sinful life to righteousness. And so for that matter, you and I today had become ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ to reconcile the world back to him. As a new covenant minister of God seated here, God's duty on your life is to reconcile the world back to him. And if that has to cost you to pay somebody's debt, you have to pay. If that has to cost you even at the peril of your own life, that is what you are called for and you must die for it. And so the Lord expects us to understand it from that perspective. That as a child of God, as somebody that the Lord has redeemed, he wants you to also live a sacrificial life for the sake of the lost. And that was the picture that Apostle Paul was painting to Philemon. That laid it on my charge if he owns you. Beloved in Christ, we've been called to follow Christ, to imitate him. So in conclusion, what do we learn out of these two characters? That Philemon living a Christ-like character and Apostle Paul demonstrating a Christ-like character in the text. What is so familiar about them? What I can see out of the text is that both of them can be trusted. Our Lord Jesus Christ can trust them to advance the kingdom of God. And the question here is, can I be trusted with the work of the ministry? Can you be trusted with the calling of God on your life? Can we be trusted? Beloved in Christ, the Lord is still sounding that warning to everyone. When you have time and you read the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5 to 8, it tells us that we should not behave as those in the world who willfully forget that the world that was of old was destroyed by the word of God. And there's this, the current word that we are now maybe in it is being held by the same word, which is Jesus Christ. And it's meant for the day of perdition and for those ungodly men. And so if God through his word created the world, destroyed it by flood, and the same word is sustainer, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says he's coming again, beloved, you must get ready. Because his word has never failed. And his word will never fail. So the earlier we get ready and imitate Christ, walk after him, the better it will be for us. And so to the saints gathered here today, our challenge here is we should imitate Christ. If you are a child of God, if you are a person who believes in Christ, our challenge here is imitate Christ. Because he says something in the book of Revelation 3 verse 11, that behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one will take your crown. There is something God has given it to you. And there is somebody that is going after you with so many things to deceive you, to rob you out of that crown. But the challenge here is that I'm coming quickly. Hold it fast. Imitate me. Follow me. Follow me step by step. Obey me. Humble yourself and obey me. It's his instruction to us to obey him if we love him. Obey him because he's coming. Lest somebody takes away your crown. And to us who probably have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord to us is, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, let him be condemned. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you that love the Lord this morning. Love him. Accept him. Let him instruct your life. Let him guide you so that you escape the wrath that is yet to befall on mankind. That can happen to us anytime, anywhere, any day. And even if it does not happen, and you are called today or maybe any moment from now to go and meet the Lord, what is going to be the account that you are going to give to him? Or what are you going to tell the Lord? That you are giving yourself a little more time, and that time never came. If you are here and don't know Jesus, as we bow our head in prayer, the worship team can come up. As we bow our head in prayer, begin to talk to God yourself. And perhaps you already know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you realize that you are not following, you are not imitating Christ. You are not following him. And you can testify the path that you are treading on, which is not the path of the Lord. And therefore it's leading you astray. Beloved, there is somebody pursuing your life. Talk to God that it should cause you to increase in faith in his son Jesus Christ. That the grace of God will abound over your life. To love him and live your life in his order. If you've not yet accepted the Lord, you just talk to God this morning. It's an opportunity to cry out to the Lord. It's an opportunity to talk to him. Because the coming of the Lord is much nearer than we ever think of. All that are happening in the world, there are indicators leading us to his second coming. He can choose to come now. Anything can choose to happen today. And that can also take us our life. Talk to God. That the Lord God should prepare us. He should prepare us. That when he comes, we will not be missing. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you, Lord, and bless you. For you are our Lord, our God, who had fulfilled your word, Lord, today in the life of our lives. As you destined it to be, that a moment like this will come, and your word will go forth, Lord, to the lives of your people. Father, your word has come to us. We humbly seek you, Lord, O God, to grant us your spirit, to receive this word as you intend them to be in our life. We pray that your Holy Ghost, Lord, will water these words in our hearts. That this word, Lord, will grow, will be grounded in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. That we may be able to live it out in this world of evil, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you. Help us, Lord, to stay close to you. As we strive through this life, be the strength that we need. Be the grace that we need. That we'll be able to stand firm and be the Epaphras of our day, to honor you and to praise you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.